Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, happiness specialist, global happiness specialist, Rebecca L. Norrington. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing the show. The show is growing as I speak. I don't know how it's growing organically, and I appreciate all of my new listeners and all of my regular listeners. You know, I was looking at some of the stats, one of the things, the numbers, but I was looking at the stats. This show has been on for 10 years, and 10 years, where did the time go? Back to the show, Reality Spirituality. This show, what I share as a global happiness specialist, what I share with my audience is how to experience more happiness on the journey. It's very simple. And when I say happiness, I'm not talking about this external happy. I win the lottery, I'm happy. I'm in a relationship, I'm happy. I got a new job, I'm happy. My bank account is woo, I'm happy. This happiness is what do they say? It is a inside job. And so when I say happiness, I'm talking about a feeling, a vibration of peace. You know, we are all energetic beings. We're all energy. And you know when you vibrate, you can feel the difference between your vibration of peace and your vibration of angst. So this, what I share with you is how to vibrate that vibration of peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. And so my definition of happiness is how to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. And do we need that now or what? Because there's a lot of crap happening out there. There's so much happening. And my question to you, my dear audience, is are you moved? Is your vibration affected? Is your energy affected by external circumstances, by external events, by someone saying something to you or not saying something or not texting you? You know, this happiness, when I say happiness, I'm really talking about a foundation rooted in peace. Rooted in peace at all times. At all times, which requires and again, happiness is a practice skill. When I say it's a practice skill, it is like any other skill on this planet, from bricklaying to gardening to master chef to, oh, Super Bowl today, to a football player, to a professional football player. For any kind of athlete, any athlete has to practice. So happiness is a practice skill. And what I do on this Reality Spirituality is share with you what to practice. What to practice to experience more happiness, and then what to eliminate. Because, and I'm going to add this on here. Listen, this behaviors that subtract from happiness. The discovery is almost weekly. It could be daily, but there's so many program behaviors that we all have been subject to, that thinking that having no clue that it's subtracting from our happiness. Let me give you an example. I'm trying to remember years ago when they said something was the margarine. Remember when we had margarine? I don't know if there's margarine is still out. Who knows? But margarine isn't good for you. You know what? I'm making a really bad analogy. Let me just stop before it gets any worse. What I'm trying to say is the behaviors that are practiced so daily and just so effortlessly, who knew that that having expectations subtract from your peace? Who knew that comparing yourself with someone else subtracts from peace? Who knew that blaming other people for your feelings or your emotions you hurt my feelings? Well, that is just not a true statement, because we were programmed to believe that someone else could hurt our feelings, or someone else could offend us, or someone else could make us feel a certain way, but it's not the truth. So this show, what my purpose on this planet is to share, that we are more powerful than we could ever even imagine. Who is more powerful? The person that can be affected, the person that can be offended, or the person that cannot? Reality, spirituality, I love the fact that I have a open forum to share with you what I've learned, and I'm talking about it is a daily experience and learning for me. I'm going to add to that the stories, and so today's show is about the stories, is about the pandemic, not COVID. It's about the pandemic of stories, and I'll explain. But before I go on, especially for my new listeners, because I have people emailing me and contacting me, and new listener just found the show, thank you for finding the show, and I just want to give a little bit of background. You know, when I say happiness is a practice skill, I mean just that. Of course, the more you commit to the practice, and it is a daily practice, the better the results. The better your results, and the more you commit to the practice, and the more that you do practice, it becomes who you are. It becomes your identity, and it's like if you ever learned how to drive a stick shift. You know, driving a stick shift in the beginning. Ooh, I remember. I learned. I've told the story before. I've learned on hills. We used to live in on hills, up and down, and I learned to drive a stick shift on a hill, which, if you know, that there was a lot of sliding back, and my father saying, put on brakes, brake. My point is that once you learn, once you have, and once you practice the behaviors that are going to add to your happiness, that are going to add to your peace, it becomes foundational. It becomes who you are. It becomes your identity. And what behaviors add to happiness? Can anybody help me with that? Can you give me five right off the bat? And if you're practicing and if you listen to the show, you have those behaviors right there on your head. I mean, you can just, I'm snapping my finger in the middle of the air. You can just list them quickly. And some of those behaviors that add to happiness are, number one, prioritizing your peace over anything else. So you either have a choice between peace and drama in every single moment, and you always choose peace. Now, your ego or your mind is going to choose something else, but I'm here to tell you that you always choose peace. When you decide, when you make a commitment to the practice and you prioritize happiness, you will always choose peace. And so you ask yourself the question, what is going to bring me more peace? What is going to bring me more peace in this moment? The other thing that adds to happiness is just surrendering. to surrendering to whatever is happening in the moment. You know, you've heard it, when you resist, it persists. You know that resistance, that finding something wrong or finding something wrong with the present moment, with any present moment, with any moment. And that goes from the past to the present. We don't do the future here because the future doesn't exist. And being in the future subtracts from your happiness. So that's why I don't do the future. The interesting thing about the surrendering in the moment, it is when I say the practice, I can't say practice enough. Practice, 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 practice. And when you commit to the practice over a period of time, not going to happen overnight. And all of you people out there, all of my audience out there, you know that growth sometimes takes time. And with that time also requires you practicing patience. And the other thing is trust. How much trust do you practice? I mean, are you trusting that whatever has happened to you, whatever is happening to you, is there to serve you? There's a reason for it. And it's really, you know, when you practice trust, your trust gets stronger the more you practice, just like lifting weights. Your skills get stronger the more you practice. And the other thing that adds to happiness is just being aware, self-awareness. Self-awareness, what are you? What is your intention in any moment? Is it to go for peace, to want peace, to really embrace and want peace in every single moment. I mean, every moment, from when you're in the car, when you're standing in the line at the grocery store or the bank. Always, are you always constantly, it's a mantra, I want peace, 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 peace. And when you are that committed, I promise you, you will feel, you will experience more peace. And my hand is up right now because, listen, we have one ride here. This is our one ride. We're here. We're all here. If you're listening to me, we're all here at the same time. And how do you want to experience this journey? How do you want to experience your life? Do you want to be able to look in the mirror and be at peace with what you see? Look in the mirror and be at peace with your life. Be at peace with the world. That's either a yes or a no. Or sometimes, you know, the ego is very tricky. The ego says, well, you know, I don't really want peace this time. I'll take it when it's a little bit more convenient. And I'm here to tell you, it's just like Super Bowl, it's just like in every moment. Execution, peace in every moment. Choosing your perspective. You know, if you have one perspective, one way of looking at anything, I'm here, and if it caused you any kind of angst, I'm here to tell you that is suspect. So we're going to talk about the stories right now because it's the stories we tell ourselves, it's the stories we tell others, it's the stories that are all suspect. It's really interesting when I say a pandemic, I looked up pandemic because at first I was going to title the show An Epidemic of Stories. And then I looked up the definition of epidemic. I said, oh, no. This is a pandemic of stories. An epidemic is just short and a small region. No, this is a pandemic. This is a global, I don't care where you're from. There's a story. The program is to tell yourself a story. And what I want to share is, We don't have to pick up that suitcase because the stories, the reason why, one of the big reasons why dropping the stories or letting the stories go is, number one, they're a high percentage, 99.9%. They're just not true. Meaning that you can look at any situation 20 different ways. So if you can look at any situation 20 different ways, I'm going to even say hundreds of ways. If you could look at any situation hundreds of ways, then what is the truth? Hundreds of truths. So this, let me just give you a specific example of what I'm saying. But I looked up epidemic versus pandemic, and no, this is a pandemic. And not only the stories, but our attachments to the stories. See, the attachment meaning that story, it's right, it's true, this happened, and this happened because of. You always know you're in a story, number one, when there's more than three words said. When there's more than three words, you know it's going to be a story. That's a clue. The other thing is that word because. Something happened because. So that's another clue. It's another clue of the stories. When you hear that word because, you know you're always in, you're in a story. And the it's been so helpful for me letting go of these stories, because life is, this life is really, and I've said it so many times, but it's the truth. This life is an experience without judgment and without the stories. I mean, I get it to give examples, to tell a story if you're sharing information, but the attachment to and the belief of the story, and especially when there's only one way. I'm going to give you a quick example. Really, well, it doesn't have to be quick, but I'm going to give you an example. Yesterday, I was let me just go back to the stories again. Because believing the stories are true is really suspect. And you know what? This is interesting. This show, me, when I have people call in or people that are in the queue and or listen to the show, and I put a warning sign up for all of my shows, a warning sign that you may be uncomfortable and your buttons may get pushed and you may be bothered by anything or triggered, bothered, buttons pushed by things that I say, and that is a clue. That is a clue, just like, oh my God, just like last week. I don't know if you're I'm sorry. Last week I was inspired not to do a show. I just wasn't feeling nothing personal, my dear audience, but I just wasn't feeling it. But 2 weeks prior to that, I had a gentleman call in, and he didn't like what I was saying, and to the point where he got really angry. Well, one of the things that you know, if you listen to the show, that you know that any time someone else is angry, and especially if they direct that anger at you and they're pointing that finger at you, and you're the reason why I'm angry, you already know that that's just not the truth. See, the story is it's your fault. It's their fault, your fault, this person's fault. And who wants to take responsibility? Who wants to take responsibility for themselves? Who wants to take responsibility for their feelings, their vibration, their energy? Not too many people. It's a lot easier to blame. It's a lot easier. It feels a lot better to blame somebody else, to blame somebody else for how you're feeling. It doesn't matter what the situation is, but I'm sorry, the blame is all, I call it the blame game, and the blame game people play. But I'm here to tell you it's not your circumstances. It's not the relationship you have with others. It's not who won the election or the – listen, it's so funny I said who won the election, because this blame game, I wrote this 4 years ago. So it's not who won the election or the price of gas. It's not the weather. It's not your health. It's not the pains of life. It's not money. It's not how you look or how much you weigh. It's not your job. It's not your children. It's not your parents. Your happiness or your inner peace or your peace depends on what you practice. And it depends on what you practice on a daily basis. So this thing about the stories, having these stories, is why it's so important to recognize that they're stories, is because these stories are the reasons for our suffering. The stories, it's the stories that we tell each other. It's not really the happening. It's because we're not focused on this. You know, it's like being in a courtroom. What are the facts? What are the facts? The facts are, and let me just go right to my example because it just happened yesterday. I was teaching, you know, if you listen, you know, I'm an exercise instructor, and then Saturday mornings I have a water class that I teach. It's called Aqua Boot Camp. Well, now we're doing, it's called a gathering right now. We're gathering for Aqua Boot Camp. And one of the students, which is really interesting, she was telling us that her a family member just had a stroke. And she was saying, and then she went into the story. And the story was that her family member always eats right, exercises, probably organic, just very, very, very quote unquote healthy individual. And so she was sharing that. And then she also said that another family, she was comparing the family members. She said it was such a surprise that this healthy one had a stroke, the healthiest of all the people in the family. And then there's another person in the family who's done drugs and alcohol and drinking and overeats and smokes, you know, that person. We all know that person or been that person or know somebody like that. You know, that kind of person. And then she was saying that, but then there's a family member that you know, smokes and drinks and drugs and for a long time in their life. And they're as healthy as a horse. But the healthy one, the supposed healthy one, is the one that got a stroke. Now here is, and those are both stories, both of them. The person that is the drinker, the drugs, and the person that is, I don't even want to put a label on it because it's just a description. So when you start just describing the experience as opposed to putting a judgment on it or putting on, I know the reason why, the truth is the person that had the stroke, it was just their destiny time to have a stroke. In other words, there is nothing, especially with health, all of your insides, your cells, your heart, all work without your control. You don't have any control over what's going on inside of your body. I mean, one of the most, this was years, decades ago, very famous runner. I think his last name was Fix. He was a marathon runner. I don't remember the first name, but he was a marathon runner, and I mean, this was decades ago. And he had a heart attack, but he ran marathons. So that is really my point. It's the person had a stroke. The person had a heart attack. The other person smokes, drinks, does drugs, done. It's really a shortening of all shortening. It's an eliminating the stories that the reason why I say eliminate the stories, because the belief in the stories, the belief in this is why something happened, number one, do we really know why things happen? Or does our ego want to know? Or does our ego want to believe that we know? So let me tell you a story. Let me give you a story. And you've heard the story before. My mom died 2018 and left the family house to the handyman. I mean, you know, I've told it all. It's one of my favorite stories in my life. I love the story. It is the funniest story. Of course, it wasn't funny when it happened, but about 2 weeks later, I was able to laugh at it because of the practice. But anyway, I digress. And, of course, the mother leaving the house to the family house to the handyman. Now, when I share that story, I'm going to say it is maybe 10 times out of 10, people respond with, oh, really? That's horrible. Oh, my God, what happened? Why and what and how did she do that and how did that manage to happen? I mean, the questions are endless. And the truth is, and I know that if I share that story, especially if it's one-on-one, I'm going to get that reaction. But the truth is, the universe left the house to the handyman. The truth is that the universe wanted me to experience that whole I can't think of another word, thing. They wanted me to experience, and I needed to experience that because of how that served me. How the handyman getting that family house, how did it serve me? How did it serve me and my growth? When I say growth, I'm talking about spiritual growth, my expansion, my ability to look and be, in other words, listen, there is a certain amount of consciousness we all have, and then when you practice, the consciousness grows. I've given this example before, but it's my favorite. Years ago, before the World Trade Centers were blown up, I was at the top of the World Trade Center. I was at the top of the one with the two antennas, the two tall antennas. And I remember, and forgive me for my old listeners that's heard the story a million times, but I love this story. I love the story. Oh, hold on a second. I've got to recalibrate. Hold on, audience. Hold on. You know, if I let the screen go dead, then it goes into sleep mode. Hopefully you can still hear me. Okay. So I'm on the top of the World Trade Center, and I remember looking down, and I remember seeing the Brooklyn Bridge below me. And I remember seeing an airplane flying, a small plane flying below me. And with that perspective, looking out over the entire, I mean, you could see the whole Tri-City, from the ocean to Long Island, New Jersey, you could see, I mean, can you imagine looking down at a plane, a small plane? And then the view and the perspective that I have in the lobby of the World Trade Center. This perspective is not as big, is not as great. So when I say the stories, when you are aware that you're telling a story, also be aware of how many perspectives you have. Is there only one way you tell the story all the time? Because the story about the handyman and the getting the house and all of that, believe me, the story is told. It is the best thing. It is one of the best things that's ever happened to me. And why is that? Why is that, Rebecca? Why is that? Well, because what that taught me, what that forced me, scratch that, because I didn't sign up for that lesson. Quite frankly, I don't sign up for any of them. I do ask the universe for more consciousness, more awareness, how more peace. I ask the universe for how do I surrender more? How do I practice trust more? I do ask the universe for that all the time. When I say all the time, I'm talking about every single day. universe, how do I let go? How do I let go of thinking I have a control? How, universe, how can I be okay with uncertainty? That's a big one. Being okay with uncertainty is a big one. I'm talking about for me, letting go and keep in also being aware in every moment, my agenda, what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. So back to the perspectives in the story. So the student was saying that the one family member, she is saying the story, and then the other family member is healthy. Let me get back to the handyman getting a house and what I learned from it and what I got from it and what I gained from it and the gifts that I got from it, because if it wasn't for that happening, guess what? I wouldn't have had to practice even more. Trusting that everything is in order. Letting go of attachments. I don't care if it's a family home or an heirloom. I used to have this, you know, I can't, if I ever lose this, I have a necklace that I wear, and I sentimental things. If I lose this necklace, I have a Buddha that I wear. It's a happy Buddha that I wear, and I actually have two necklaces that I wear. And I remember I've been wearing a Buddha for, 20 years, maybe 25 years, a long time. And I remember being really attached to it and thinking, oh, if I ever lost my Buddha, oh. So the attachments to the stories is what I want to share. The attachments to the stories, listen, it's very hard not to tell stories. I get it. But my point is, do you have an attachment to your story, meaning that you are not going to let go of that story? That story is true. That story is real. That story is what you're going to believe. And you are not going to look at whatever situation in another way. See, the practice becomes looking at the same situation because as soon as that happened with me, the mother, the handyman, how could you? I knew it. And on and on and on. And I was only focused on one thing. I was only focused on something was wrong. Something was wrong. And that was my story for about 2 weeks. I knew something was wrong. Houston, we have a problem. And I'm here to tell you that months later, a year later, now it's over two years later, it is one of the best experiences that I ever have as far as personal growth, as far as spiritual growth. What did I do? I let go of having attachments. I let go even more of having expectations. I trusted more. I let go of having attachments to items, the sentimental. I let go of all of it. And finally, because the ending of that story is, it took a year, probably a year and 2 months, back and forth in courts, legal battle, back and forth, finally got the keys to the house and all of its contents, and guess what? I gave everything away. Everything in that house. I don't care how much value it was, from the rings to my mom had a couple mink coats, to the coats, to the clothes, to the appliances that weren't even out of boxes, everything in that house. Well, I did keep one umbrella. I kept her umbrella because it was a really interesting umbrella. It opens from it opens opposite from a regular umbrella. But anyway, I digress. I gave every single item in that house away to either family or mostly probably 90% of it went to charity. Furniture, I didn't keep one thing. No, my mom was really a big with this this addiction to QVC and HSN. So she had a couple of stones, loose stones, and maybe a couple of necklaces, never even been worn. I think I have about two of those. But trust me, everything was given away. And that taught me to let go of material. I can let go of anything in this, anything that I own, including property. I'm good. I can let go of anything that, and when I say own, I'm using air quotes, because really, come on, what does that mean anyway? I own. What does that mean? That's a human, it's not a universal. In a universe, we don't own anything. There's nothing that is owned. So I say that with air quotes. I don't even know if I'm getting off the track with the stories, but the point is this, letting go of anything. There are no attachments. So my attachments, your attachments to the stories. Can you tell, this is my question to you, can you tell a different story? You're in the same situation. You've told yourself a story for years. Or maybe it's a new story for a few months. Maybe it's the pandemic story. Or can you let go of the story? Or can you change the story and tell a different story? See, that's when you know you're not attached to the stories, when you can pick up and say, oh, you know what? It's like going to a buffet. There's no more buffets. Oh, my God, I love buffets. I love buffets. But anyway, I digress. It's like a buffet. So when you can really, on the spur of the moment, practice, you know what, that story doesn't feel good to me, or that story affects my vibration, or that story affects my energy. When you can really let go of one story and implement another story and another story, guess what? You're not attached to the stories anymore. You are more into your peace as opposed to the story. And you know what comes along with that story? That story comes along with that false sense, that illusion of I'm right. I know this is true. It has to be true. It is a big, when I say suffering because of the stories, what, come on. You know what I'm talking about, my dear audience. The stories are suspect. And when I say suffering, if you are telling yourself that the reason why something is happening to you or something is not happening to you because A, B, C, or D, and you tell yourself a story, I'm here to tell you that you can also let go of that story and say, you know, I'm going to question if that story is true. In fact, her name is Byron Katie. And Byron Katie, she does, it's called The Work. And she has four sets or five sets of questions. And each one of her questions, she asks you to question the truth of the story. Do you know that the story is true? Do you believe that it's true? What are you without your story? In fact, that's my question today. Who are you? What are you without your story? When I say it's a pandemic of stories, are you kidding? Everybody's got a story. And usually it's a story about the past. And usually it's a story that isn't a feel-good story. There's not a lot of people walking around here telling me feel-good stories. I mean, I'm in the public from time to time. I'm in the public. I teach classes. I'm out and about. I'm in the grocery stores. I'm in Costco. And if I speak to someone or people, you know, I'm talking about people that I meet in the spur of the moment, or even people that I see at the gym, I'm telling you that 10 times out of 10, well, scratch that, I'm just going to say 9, because that's a story too, 9 times out of 10, the story that is told to me, the story that I listen to, there's always a story about a complaint. There's a story about something's wrong. There's a story about someone else. There's a judgment, and the story. I'm just here to tell you, you don't need the story. If something happens, okay, say you lose your job. I lost my job. Period. That's it. That's the end. But see, the ego wants more, wants a reason, wants to prolong, wants to put legs on the story, right? The ego wants legs on the story. And what are we going to do with all of that time and all of that space of no story? It's really, life is an experience without the judgments, and the judgments are stories. You want to have more peace? Let go of the stories. Let go of the judgments. Eliminate the stories. And see, when you're conscious and you're aware, you can catch yourself telling a story. How many people get on the phone and they talk to someone else, and it's usually, I don't know. I don't know too many people who call me with great news. I know a lot of people who call me with complaints. I know a lot of people call me with, when I say complaints, I'm talking about in my personal life. It's totally different than the podcast and a personal life. The podcast, I want you to call me. I want you to tell me about your challenges. That's the reason for the show. Share your challenges, and then together we will come up with what, in other words, we come up with a solution in the challenge that you will find peace in the challenge. You will be able to find peace in the challenge, as opposed to now your challenge and now you're not feeling peaceful. So that's the purpose of the show. So the show is different than my personal life. That makes sense, of course. One of the reasons when I say practice, the first part of the practice is to gradually, when I say practice, the practice, happiness is a practice skill. So the first part of the practice is to eliminate the behaviors that have been proven that are going to subtract from your happiness. And one of them is telling yourself a story, meaning telling yourself the reason why this is happening is A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Because really, the truth is, the reason why things happen are for a bigger reason and a greater reason and a divine reason that is there to serve you, there for your betterment, there for you to grow, expand. But do you believe that? Do you trust that? Do you know that? Or are you ego-driven and you're just allowing the ego to take you on a ride that's going to go around and around and around and around, and you're going to feel like you're not going to feel good because you're going to believe the stories? So the practice is, the homework assignment this week is, practice, if you feel inspired, practice on just stating what is happening without a story attached to it. What is happening without a story? And I know the world loves stories. 60 Minutes was founded on stories, which I don't like 60 Minutes, but it's founded on people loving stories. And I get it. I get it for entertainment purposes. I get it for a documentary. But you know what's interesting? Okay, let me go back with this. documentary. Let's go. Let's see a documentary on. I'm just going to go with one of my favorite artists of all time, which is Prince. Now, I've watched a lot of documentaries on Prince. And the stories, the documentary will focus on his, will focus on his genius of being a musician, genius songwriting, genius collaboration, the guy was a genius, musical genius. I mean, it is a talent that, and you know, we all have our talents, we all have our gifts, and the universe graced me with being alive at the same time Prince was, because the guy was musical genius. There's a lot of musical geniuses out there, but he was my favorite at the time. But you'll never see a documentary, and see, this is the interesting thing. You'll never see a documentary that is just gonna deal with Prince's his instabilities, his drug addictions, his relationships, because if you listen to them, you'll hear the story. You'll hear that it was very controlling, perfectionist, and I'm not making a judgment. I'm just stating the evidence. Very controlling, very perfectionist. You know, if you were in his band, you had to practice till wee hours in the morning. I mean, if you really want my take on it, is he's not on stage. It wasn't very happy. Where was the peace? Because there's no peace. There is absolutely no peace when you're trying to think, when you think you have control over other people or what they do or barking out orders. There's really, you'll see glimpses of okay, I'm okay. But I'm saying that his most peace, I don't know this to be true, but I'm gonna speculate that most of his peace was found in his gift when he was on stage. And then off the stage, yikes. I mean, just the way that he died is an example and a proof of that. See, I wanna hear behind the scenes. Just don't give me everything tied up in a bow. I want to hear what went on behind the scenes, because now it perpetuates the story. What a great, great musician. And yes, definitely. But what kind of person are you? What kind of person are you in your private life? What kind of person are you? And you can tell what kind of person a person is by the way they treat other people in their private life. And by the way, and you know what else you can tell? You can tell by a person, by how many times they get angry and what they get angry about. I'm not saying that anger isn't a real thing, but what I'm saying is, what's the reason for your anger? See, let's dissect that. I sometimes look in the world and think, why isn't anybody telling the truth? Why isn't anybody exposing and telling the truth that people are troubled? I don't care how much talent you have. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much power you have. You're troubled. And that goes from anyone. That goes to anyone. And it's not about people that are out there, people that are well-known. From the Princes to the Robin Williams to the Michael Jacksons to the Anthony Bourdain to the, I think it was Kate Spade. I mean, all of these, to the Elvis, to the Whitney Houston, to the all of these people that are troubled. I mean, why aren't we studying the troubles? Why are we sweeping the troubles under the rug? Because the troubles are the things that are going to be freeing. The troubles are what we're going to learn from. We learn from the challenges. But nobody wants to talk about that. Everybody wants to talk about, wow, what a great talent. And the Steve Jobs, you know, what's really interesting about Steve Jobs. I think it was a movie. I didn't see it. But the guy, I mean, come on, changed the world with the iPhone. but in his private life was supposedly an asshole, mean, brutal to people. I didn't see his movie, but I remember, and I think, did he have children? But brutal. Not a nice guy. And guess what happened? I told his brother, guess what happened at the end of his life? You can look it up. There was someone, I think, that either interviewed him or was a close friend. But at the end of Steve Jobs' life, now, after all of this, after a whole life of being a tyrant, yeah, I said it, a tyrant to other people, not having any peace, now he figures out what's really important. After when he's dying, the story is he would take walks to his neighborhood park the last few months of his life. Because when he found out he had, I think it was some type of cancer, and he didn't want modern medicine at all. He went the holistic way. And that didn't work, and then now he's trying, and he was dying. And he knew he was dying. And at the end of his life, now he's finding peace, walking to the park, walking to his neighborhood park. So this show, what I'm sharing with you on reality spirituality, we don't have to wait until we're dying. We don't have to wait till the end to find the peace. The peace is right now. You can be at peace right now. And so with this show, what I share with you is how to find the peace and how to be in peace in this moment, on the journey. My favorite quote is, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. You can be at peace. You can find the peace in the moment. It can be a peaceful journey. A peaceful journey. This thing of happiness, people looking for happiness, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? You know, it's here right now. But nobody's going to talk about it. And you don't get awards for it. You don't get awards for personal growth. You don't get awards for choosing peace. But the universe gives you awards. You know, I had a conversation with my son a couple of weeks ago. And he was, what was he talking about? He was talking about, how people, you know, people that are on a pedestal or put on a pedestal, and then they fall from their pedestal. I'll give you an example. Tiger Woods, you know, fell from his pedestal. He had a scandal. Oh, give me another one. You know, the people that fall from their pedestals. Michael Jordan, you know, pedestal that is, you know, gambling. You know, all this, I know it's a story, but all of that. So he was talking about, you know, Mom, I was scandals. If I'm out there in the scandal, he wasn't talking about himself, but he was saying, you know, what is that? What is that falling from grace and people, now that people are judging you and they're, oh, look at him. You know the you know what I'm talking about. I don't even know what that's called, but people rejoicing in someone else's fall or misery. And I'm here to tell you this. I told him, and I'm going to quote myself, so I know I'm going to get it right. I told him, you know what? I could care less what man thinks about me. I could care less what these humans think about me. I am rooted in what the universe thinks about me. And I'm going to say this to you too, my dear audience. Connect to the universe. You know, because the universe thinks you're perfect. Thinks that what you're doing, where you are, where you're going, how you're feeling, all of it, perfection, sees perfection. The universe doesn't find fault with you at all. So it's a very fine line of living in the world or living connected to universe, source, God, higher power, source energy, whatever spirit, whatever you want to call that entity. I'm okay with whatever label you use. But that is the connection. Leaving these human, manly, man-made I could care less. I don't want to, I don't need an award from a man, when I say human, man. I don't need awards. I don't need acclimates. I don't need any of that. When you have the, when you align yourself and you walk hand in hand and you know that your best friend is the universe, you know what I'm talking about, that connection, your relationship with the universe. That, when you're solid in that, this worldly shit that's going on here, who cares? Now, I'm not saying not to be inspired to make changes, changes. I'm not saying that at all. But I know what I prioritize, and it's nothing here on this planet. Absolutely not. You know why? Because it's fleeting. The universe is it doesn't change. Everything on this planet, man, this life, everything is going to change. But the universe is solid. When I say solid, I mean getting a little fumbly here with my words, because I'm trying to express my inner self as concisely as I can. Hopefully you get it. Yeah, let go of this man-made stuff. I get it. I'm human. But you know what? If I'm going to be choosing a side, if I'm going to be who's my quarterback? It sure isn't anything human. It sure isn't anything out there. It's always universal. And when you choose, and when you always you're connected, and you nourish that relationship with the universe, and you ask the universe for help whenever you're feeling, you scratch that, whenever you're feeling. I ask the universe for help every morning. Every morning, every afternoon, every evening. And you know what, too? I'm going to be honest again. I cuss them out sometimes, too. That's right. I tell them they're assholes. You're an asshole, universe. But the relationship with the universe, it is a real relationship. And that's what I encourage you to have, my dear audience, a real relationship with the universe, with God. A real relationship, one-on-one, you and the relationship, you and the universe, you and the God, one-on-one. Woo! Super Bowl today. Now, this is going to be, it's really interesting, because one of the things that subtracts from happiness is having preferences. Having preferences subtracts from happiness. And you know, I have a team that I want to win, that I would like to win, that I have a preference. That's right, I do. And I ask the universe to help me with my preferences, because, and help me, not, but not help me with my preference, because I obviously have a preference. But I said, universe, help me with how can I accept whatever happens today. Help me with that, universe. See, that's the thing. Don't try. You don't need to do this by yourself. Ask for help. Develop your relationship. Hey, universe, help me with, because I know the universe could care less who wins the game. But I say, help me with my preferences. Help me with accepting whatever happens today. Woo! Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. You can follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. LinkedIn, I have Instagram handle, Reality Spirituality. My YouTube channel, you can go on YouTube, and I have a few videos posted. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon.com. And my second book, Program for Unhappiness, is going to be out sometime this year. Until next time, until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You're a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. and you're always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, Global Happiness Specialist Rebecca Lynn Norrington. Have a conscious week, and remember, happiness is a practice skill. Your experience in every moment reflects what you practice.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
All right, spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Get real.
Now,
get real.
Now,
get real.
Now,
get real.
Time to get real.